He's seen it from all sides. As a cop. As a clergyman. As a candidate. Even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show. Calling this episode The Impending Implosion. The Impending Implosion. I'm your guest host, John DePrisco. Fear not, brave patriots. Joe will be calling in later during the show. We are live and armed. That's right, armed with truth, intelligence, and logic, and Florida State Statute 790. We do take your calls live at 430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. Our calling guests will be Joe Whitehead and later Doug Rankin from the front lines. My in-studio guest is Dr. Joseph Doyle. And as I said, today's episode is The Impending Implosion, where we will discuss the factors leading up to what I think is going to be an implosion. Again, call in live, 430-2428. Also, you can listen live if you're not in the broadcast area, so tell your families and friends that we are on WGUF989.com. And so I'd like to start by introducing Dr. Joe Doyle. He's on the advisory board of the Florida Citizens Alliance. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, John. It's good to be with you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been. Let's start right into it. Let's talk COVID. I mean, there's been a lot going on since the last time we talked about it, and there's a lot to say.
There has. As you know, back in December of 2020, the first vaccines came out. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like to use the term, but they're really under emergency use authorization. The only one that's appears to have been licensed is the Pfizer biotech. But to that, what's going on with the vaccines is it's really, as I said, an emergency use authorization. So it's technically a study. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's taken one or two doses of the shot and now the booster has technically been involved in a study. Yeah. And one of the things I'd like to say about that is a lot of vaccines, such as your childhood vaccines, your hepatitis B vaccines, they're usually three in a series. Mm-hmm. We still really, truly, as far as I'm concerned, haven't figured out what the series should be. Mm-hmm. This booster might be the third shot in the series, because right. Very often in a series you get one, then you get one a month later, and then you get one 6 months later.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want to look at it that way, because otherwise it's looking at that it could be something that they want to do it annually, like the flu shot.
Right.
But what's going on with COVID as far as cases. Mm-hmm. All right. We've had a lot of media hysteria. We had it again because we had this surge over the summer in Florida, and the northern states are ready for their winter surge.
Yes.
The thing that's mind-boggling is that with most epidemics and pandemics, you count every year.
Right.
Okay, we count, that's the way we count flu cases. Well, we've been counting cumulatively the COVID cases for over 18 months now.
Right.
So, of course, it makes it look like it's much worse than it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you say there's, you know, 750,000 deaths, that's over 18, 19 months.
Correct.
You know, if you split it out to 2020 and 2021, you know, it looks a lot different. And then even, interestingly, you know, Florida has an early annual flu season. Now it'll be a COVID season. You know, like you said, August. And now it's moving north. And if you look at the number of cases, the hospitalizations, and yes, even the deaths, it's no different. In fact, it can be worse in those states that are very restrictive, very locked down, you know, mask mandates, vaccine mandates. You know, you can't come in and work if you don't have them. And they're having the same numbers. You know, so it's not working the way, you know, and it's, you know, I like when they say it's the science. Well, that's the science. The numbers don't lie. You know, we're seeing that these things aren't working to the degree that they're trying to, you know, mass hysteria and, you know, fear and the control that they want from that.
Yeah, and with these vaccines, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, known as VAERS,
yeah.
There's a tremendous backlog in entering the data. It's not user-friendly to begin with. So we don't truly have a good picture of deaths and adverse events from this jab. And there are different reports, but it looks like there are problems with it. When we had the swine flu back in the 70s, there were problems, and the study was stopped immediately. Mm. That's not happening with this. Okay, and this is a worldwide thing as well. So we have those problems. They're now dropping down to the children as far as putting the, wanting to immunize them. Remember, children only have a 0.003% chance of dying even if they contract the virus.
Yeah.
So you have to look at risk-benefit if you're a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you vaccinate your child if they're really going to get something which is essentially a mild cold and recover from it? And along those lines, natural immunity is much better than the vaccine-based immunity, because the vaccine only really is approaching the spike protein.
Mm-hmm.
Natural immunity, you get immunity to both the spike protein and the nucleocapsid.
Mm.
And you can test for that at the lab.
Okay.
So my sister's family, they all had COVID. Two of them have gotten tested, and you know they have natural immunity. So that's the other thing I learned in medical school. If you already have natural immunity, you don't take a vaccine. Okay? Because you can get an adverse reaction to that. I personally did that. Mm. I had chemo, and it washed out my immune system, and my doctor found out that I needed to be re-immunized to hepatitis B.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took the first shot, no problem. When I took the second shot, I had a cytokine reaction.
Mm.
The mistake there was we should have checked my antibody levels before I took the next shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why you're seeing some of these people having problems with the vaccine, because they may have already had some type of immunity to COVID.
Yeah, and it's, as we've seen, it's a better immunity than the shot.
Yes.
Yeah. So why do it? So I do want to maybe move on a little bit into, you know, the economics, the politics, and why we're calling this the impending implosion. And, you know, we do take your calls live, 430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. So we are building up to an impending implosion, not explosion. And what I mean by that, I think we're going to see a collapse in our daily societal, you know, the way we run around. And if you look at inflation, of course, we'll get more into that. Even the recent jobs figure is just, it's astounding. You know, they were expecting greater than 500,000. They got less than 200,000. People are just walking off in droves. We have a world energy crisis, especially in natural gas and coal. Those, you know, the prices of those are just going to go through the roof. You know, we have these draconian mandates. We had the horrible Afghanistan debacle. We have China and Taiwan heating up. We have this ridiculous unpayable debt and deficit, and it's just going, going, going. We do have an aging demographics, which is going to affect Social Security. Of course, this cancel culture and this leftist extremism is just, you know, they're frothing at the mouth. We're now seeing this huge supply chain crisis. The tyrannical federal action against, especially the FBI, against, you know, parents just trying to use their right to redress their government at, you know, school council meetings. And now we're having sick outs, like at Southwest Airlines, where the pilots just aren't showing up in droves. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. But at some point, the framework of society is going to collapse in on itself as a result of this. I'm not even sure we're going to make it to November 2022. And even then, I'm not even sure how much of a help that's going to be. I think it could be. But, you know, it's off in the distance, and these problems are accelerating. And by the way, I think the electric grid is next. And, you know, I really hope you've doubled up on your perishable foodstuffs.
Well, John, I share a lot of your same concerns. I'm really concerned about the November 22 election. We need to have election integrity, and 2020 has to be fixed before we can even think about doing 22. And that's coming up within a year.
Yeah.
The absentee ballots go out about a year from now. It usually goes out in October.
Yep.
So that has to be fixed. But to your point, we never really recovered from the 2008 financial crash. Yeah. By the way, I also have an MBA. So I follow these things. And all of the bubbles have been reinflated. Look at the real estate bubble.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the stock market, 35,000 on the Dow. I mean, all the bubbles, the national debt is approaching $29 trillion. So to your, a perfect storm is brewing. You throw in the supply chain stuff and some other things that may be intentional. And we're looking at the unraveling of America. And at the core of it is the destruction of our middle class.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going after
the small businesses were decimated over the last year and a half. We had less of a cushion to begin with in compared to 2008. So.
Yeah. So it looks like we have a caller on line four. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Who's this?
This is Mary Ellen Cash. How are you?
Hey, Mary Ellen. How are you?
Good, good. I wanted to call in and talk about the school system.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, so as you all know, I'm very involved in the schools. And there's something going on in the schools that very few people know about, the privatization of most of the services that the school has. So for a long time, they've had the privatization of the custodians. Which has been very tragic for the school system because we used to have amazing people that worked for the district and were loyal to the district.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were paying them $10.50 in 2012 when I was still working for the system.
Right.
And they're still paying them $10.50 now. At that time, I don't know if you remember, I ran for school board
in
2010. And we were the ones that told about that the superintendent at that time, Thompson, it was his brother-in-law who really owned the custodial company and they gave the contract to.
Of course.
So, going on. Now the issue with the custodians is they're not giving them any cleaning equipment and cleaning fluids and so on and so forth. So our schools are filthy. Teachers are being left to their own devices, having to clean their own classrooms on top of everything else that they have to worry about.
Yeah, they get a lot put on their shoulders. They really do.
Yes, and the salaries. Now, what really bothers me is that the school board just gave the superintendent a $650,000 bonus. That's another thing that nobody's talking about. I think the total for bonuses for the senior leadership was $1.2 million. Now, these people are public servants.
Right.
So since when do we give public servants CEO bonuses?
Yeah, right.
So, and the other thing is, if we've got that kind of money to spend, why aren't we motivating the custodians, giving the custodians individual bonuses so that they clean our schools better?
Yeah, and to your point, you know, when you privatize that, you remove it by one level. So you're kind of hands off. You're saying, well, we have a contract, we pay. It's the vendor that's giving all these problems. But, you know, you're just kicking the can down the road.
Right. Well, the other thing is they've privatized the purchasing department.
Mm.
Okay, so my question, I just found out about that this week. That's why I decided to call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I question now, are they, if let's say for the Freedom of Information Act, if I request how much what they have purchased in the last year or so, is that vendor, is that privatized organization bound by the same rules as the Florida statutes for the Department of Education and the school board?
Right, good point.
So what are they hiding? What are they buying that they don't want us to know?
Right, exactly.
So besides the books.
Right, so let me ask you this. Are you seeing parents and others reacting to this at the school council meetings?
Well, nobody knows about it. That's why I'm calling you, and I'm hoping to get something going here with people being informed. Unfortunately, more and more people are moving away there's in that very active group being led by Alfie Oates. That's really, really challenging the school board. But the common individual does not know about what's happening to their children.
Right. Well, Marianne, I really appreciate the call, and you have a great weekend.
All right, you guys do well.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, Marianne brings up some good points. You know, the school board just passed a $1.3 billion budget. And if you look at per child, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $25,000 to $27,000. So to underpay these workers and to not clean the schools, as she alleges, is terrible. And if you want to protect your children from COVID, you need clean schools and wash your hands. That's much better than the masks.
Yeah. So I believe Joe is on line 5. Can we get Joe on? Joe, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for filling in for me today. You guys sound fantastic. I'm enjoying some nice fall weather up here in Georgia. And the first thing I wanted to do is answer the question raised by Mary Ellen Cash, which is a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, are the records of spending by a contracted company subject to public record? If a public entity, in other words, contracts something with a private entity, are those subject to public record and disclosure? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah,
because they're funded ultimately by the public. If it comes through a public entity, even if it's a private sector that's contracted, everything about them is subject to the Freedom of Information Act, mm-hmm. and Sunshine Law as well.
Yeah, and you know, it just takes a Project Veritas or somebody, you know, local to, you know, go after them and say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to ask. And I want results, and if I don't get results, I'm going to the court, and I'm going to go to discovery.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how you do it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you started on something at the beginning of the show that I love, and I want to follow it up.
Okay.
And that has to do with you're talking about an implosion.
Yes.
This is more serious than what anybody actually thinks, and I'm going to tell you some reasons why I know this is true.
Okay.
If you want to destroy a society, you can do it in a variety of ways. You can declare war on it, come in with military armament, and, you know, blow it into the Stone Age. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what's exactly happening. You can also go a different route. You can help the society destroy itself from within.
Yep.
That's much more effective. It's longer term, and it actually works. And I'm going to give you an example of this decay, which is, I think, of a severe nature. Lately, a Chinese-based company, internet company and website called TikTok,
mm-hmm.
has been challenging school kids, children, to do outrageous acts of antisocial behavior, violence, vandalism, disruption, and it's put out there. Kids have access to it, and they're acting it out. A very recent situation I watched the video of took place in the state of Louisiana this past week. An 18-year-old high school student for a TikTok challenge, pounded the daylights out of a 64-year-old disabled teacher while one of her friends videoed. Now, this student was arrested. She's 18. The police refer to her as a child, which I found very interesting. But this child will probably face minimal consequences, which is a concern.
Right, yeah.
The other thing, now, the thing about this TikTok and there's been other situations in Collier County, which the district does not like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's situations which occurred in the last 3-4 years, and I believe there's 3 that I can recall vividly, of teachers being attacked by students, receiving physical injury, and the students eventually returning to school, of course. Mm-hmm. In one of these situations, the teacher was terminated for not, and it was an administrator, for not wanting to go back to their post. They requested another post. And the district would not give them the post. And in this particular case, there's a lawsuit in federal courts. I haven't followed the suits. So I don't know what the status of it is. But the bottom line is there has to be consequences for bad behavior. There's no other way around it. And the school district of Collier County is not delivering consequences for bad behavior. You're more likely to get serious consequences for not saying something that's woke.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But but there's not consequences for bad behavior. As a result, you have chaos. The safety of the schools is compromised. Teachers don't have control of the classrooms. Without control of the classrooms, you start to see it diminish. You diminish your academic results. Kids don't learn. And on top of that, this affects family structure. If you can go to school and disrupt and disrespect and commit violence against a teacher, what's the parental response to this?
Right.
Because in my day and age, and I went to a Catholic school in the state of Florida up through 8th grade. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, gentlemen, you wouldn't even dream or even let alone vocalize, wanting to do something physical to one of your teachers or one of the one of the nuns who ran the school.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't even cross your mind. This is how off base this was. And I'm going to tell you, if somebody was stupid enough and would have done it, they'd be idiots. First of all, I have to give the nuns credit. They've mastered the use of a ruler.
Yes.
as a defensive weapon.
Yep.
In fact, those aren't plastic measuring sticks. Those, in their hands, they're nunchucks.
Yep, they're ninjas.
Okay, Bruce Lee would run scared.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm telling you, they wouldn't fool around. If you touched a teacher when I was a kid at school, your name would become tree. Because you'd have so much wood slapped upside your head, you wouldn't even know what to do. Okay? We let these kids get away with this. There's no consequences.
Yep.
In my opinion, as someone who's dealt with public safety and understands use of force, I think it's totally justifiable that if a child strikes a teacher violently, that teacher should be able to strike back to smack that behavior down.
Yeah.
There is no other way. Now, I know there's people in the school district that are cringing and say, oh, my God. So what's the end game?
Yeah.
What is the end game if you don't do that?
Yeah, and it builds upon itself. I mean, we learned from Rudy Giuliani in the 80s. You know, he had the broken windows theory. If you don't start low and tamp it down hard, it just gets worse.
Exactly. And what's happening here is that I'm a believer that there's elements in the Chinese society and the government that want to see TikTok and other vehicles infect American culture and American families. Because this is a way to disrupt the culture.
Oh, yeah.
Our society is based on the family structure. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you have families that are functioning, that means the next generation coming up, children, kids, learn how to function. And they become educated. And they learn things like responsibility. They learn the kinds of things we all need to learn to be able to survive in a responsible, free society. That's the point.
Yeah.
When you have families intact, communities are intact. When you have communities intact, the nation thrives.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's an oversimplification in some people's minds, but that's basically the foundation of our society and our culture. So you have to have this culture that's based on families that are intact, parents that are responsible, and kids that are being raised with values and are being properly educated.
Yeah.
What things like TikTok, it's not just TikTok causing it. Mm-hmm. It's a symbol. It's a sign. It's a symptom.
Yeah.
One of the solutions is, if you're a parent and you're sitting there listening to me, oh, my God, they think this is terrible. My question to you is, do you let your 12-year-old have a phone? Do you let your 12-year-old have access to the Internet? Because if you do, you're contributing to the problem. If you want it to stop, take that stuff away. Why does a child need those tools? Somebody said, I want somebody to tell me why a child needs it.
Right. Yeah, 12. You know, give them a calculator.
Joe, you
bring a pencil and a paper.
Yeah,
Joe, you bring up a good point about the destruction of our society, our culture that way. It's actually been going on for 100 years. If you look at Gramsci out of Italy, and when all those people came over from Germany as well and set up the Frankfurt School in the 30s at Columbia University, and they wanted to destroy the family, destroy. Faith, destroy, get it to the churches. In fact, they brought in 1,100 fake priests in the 1930s and 40s into the Catholic Church. So, you know, this has really been going on, and here we are now, and it's all coming to a head, and they're ready for the frog in the water to finally get boiled.
Yeah.
It's almost well done. Well, you know, the problem, too, with our society losing its values and not articulating values is that when someone steps outside the boundaries. Yet you have to establish boundaries. We all have to have boundaries. You can't have a society unless there's boundaries on behavior. It doesn't work. You have to have speed limits on highways or you end up with nothing but crashes. So there's got to be boundaries. But when you have people straying outside the boundaries and then there's no reciprocity or consequences, that's even worse. And how do we let that happen? Well, there's no consequences for coming into this country illegally. In fact, there's rewards for doing that. So that's part of the problem. Even when you do some sort of a heinous act, there's no consequences. Case in point, if you recall just about a week and change ago, an 18-year-old in Texas went in and shot up his school, injuring at least four people. He's out on bail.
Yeah.
He's walking around.
Yeah, he's like,
he's 18. He's an adult, and they're making excuses for him. Well, he was bullied. Well, he was bullied. Look, to me, if you bring a gun to school, not only should you not get back into school, this should be a very, very long jail time. And if you use the gun to shoot someone, he shouldn't. He's not fit to be in society. This guy is not fit to be in society if you do that. Will people admit that and say it? No, they're going to make excuses for him.
Mm-hmm.
These other kids who've done acts of violence in the Collier County schools and other systems, what's the first thing the Wizards of Smart do? They step in and go, well, you know, there's a bullying problem. There's a communication problem. The kid's got, you know, ADHD or LMNOP or whatever. They've got some problem. The only problem I can tell you exists is a disorder, a real disorder. It's called BWDD, called butt-whooping deprivation disorder, because they haven't met the paddle.
Yeah.
And unless parents grab hold of their kids, take them, get them off the social media, get them off the phone, and hold them accountable. And yeah, there's got to be consequences if you cross the line. There's just got to be consequences if you go outside the boundaries. But we are losing that in droves.
Yep.
And the only consequence that happens even sometimes is kid gets put on medication.
Yeah, and can make it worse.
Well, I saw it back in the 90s, Joe, when they tried to medicalize everything and get the kids put into disability, as you say, with all the different really behavioral problems. And then they have Medicaid clinics at the schools, too. So that's a typical liberal solution, is to throw money and try to relabel everything.
Well, that's exactly right. And if we want to recover this culture and the society, there's lots of things that are going to have to happen. One of them is it's not just about schools. It's about parents' relationship with their kids. And then a school should be the place a parent sends a kid to be educated and grow in knowledge and reinforce the values of the home. We've got it all backwards.
Yeah.
We're doing it completely backwards.
Now, we are seeing some backlash. So, like at Loudoun County, Virginia, and other places, there are, you know, parents fighting back. And, you know, it took a lot, unfortunately, to get them to be active. But there are things you can do, and I think one of the Loudoun County school board members resigned, and the superintendent issued an apology. So it does work. It just takes a lot of energy to get that started.
Well, it does, and you have to have the courage to stand up, and you also have to be rational and thoughtful in how you present your information. Because
mm-hmm.
we've got this dimwit, Merrick Garland, as part of the plan now, saying, well, if you stand up to your school board and you present anything that's disruptive, you're now a terrorist. You're a domestic terrorist.
Unbelievable.
What a crock this is. But it's okay to burn police stations, turn over cars, and riot. That's okay. That's just, you know, seeking justice. But if you talk back to your school board, you're a domestic terrorist. You see how things are upside down and backwards.
Yep.
And this is going to take a lot to unravel this entire mess, but it's the way that anyone listening to me right now can start. If you have children, take away their devices. They don't need them. If there's behavior they don't understand, lay it out to them, establish the boundaries, and have consequences when you go outside the boundaries. Any parent listening, if they actually do that and do that faithfully and without reservation and without hesitation, you will see a change. And if enough families do that, it's going to make a difference, at least on a small level in some communities. You got schools like Mason Academy. Okay. Mason Academy is thriving because when I was there and the other staff who's there worked together, we had a philosophy that was completely different than the Collier County Public Schools
mm-hmm.
and all other school systems when it came to the school culture. And the difference is, no, parents, you are in charge of your kids, just like those parents in Loudoun County are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who's in charge of the behavior. And if the child steps outside the boundaries, it's not the school's job to correct them. It's the parent's job to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
And so when I was there as an administrator, I would send kids home to parents and ask the parents, please take care of this. 95% of the parents would say to me, you know what, I got this. This won't happen again. And those kids would come back to school a day or two later. You wouldn't see many problems. I salute and respect all those parents because they're doing the right thing and they're accepting responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the truth. You'll get the occasional ones who don't accept responsibility for their kids, who blame the school, blame everybody else, you know, they school hop or they'll start their own school or whatever. They do whatever. But the point is, the bottom line is this. You have to take charge. If you don't take charge, it's going to spin out of control, and then they'll be left to the forces of TikTok and whatever else influenced them. And this is how society in our country will unravel. It won't be from a rocket launched by the Chinese or the Russians or the North Koreans or the Iranians. It'll be from the fires that we don't put out within.
That's right. We are going to destroy ourselves from within. And to your point, Mason Classical Academy is number 8 in the entire state of Florida.
Out of 3,400 schools.
Mm.
Yes. And the distance between number 8 and number 1 is about razor thin.
Yeah. Yeah, the top 10 are all pretty close.
Yeah, they're all razor thin differences between them. That's absolutely the truth. But you don't get there by just wishing it. You've got to make it happen. And you've got to, and the community, parents, people, and everyone involved has to come together and make it happen. And that's how things can at least start to slowly change. You guys are doing a great job, by the way. And I have to tell you, your info about the vaccines is making me look some stuff up now.
All right.
Because I did get the Johnson & Johnson one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get a follow-up one. But I'm going to take a second look at this now.
Yes, check for antibodies first. You might not need a second shot right away.
That's a good point. And I have actually, and let me ask the doctor this question. So I've actually been tested positive for COVID and recovered using, guess what, CPAC and hydrochloroquine and a steroid. Recovered in 2 or 3 days. Beautiful.
Mm.
Am I probably a better antibody than if I got a vaccine? At this point, in your opinion?
Yes, you are, because my entire family in Tampa had that. They were treated with hydroxychloroquine, Zithromax, and some with a steroid, and they have natural antibodies. And if you have natural antibodies, it's the best type of immunity. And we need the politicians to step up and fight the Biden administration and say, we need to give credit. The only one doing that right now is Senator Rand Paul, who happens to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to say natural immunity is a valid immunity.
You know, I don't know why people don't understand it. The only thing Biden should be worrying about is making sure he has enough depends so he can keep changing when he needs to. Because I'm not so sure. I think I know why he has these short meetings all the time. You know what I mean? So anyway, well, gentlemen, you guys are doing a wonderful job. Carry on. Thank you for filling in for me today. And I'll be back in the saddle hosting again next Saturday.
Awesome.
But to everyone out there listening, listen to these guys. They make sense. They absolutely make sense. And call in and talk if you like. Have a great Saturday.
Joe, thanks very much. You have a great weekend.
Bye now.
So I do want to get back to something that I call everything new is old again. Now, this is unlike Peter Allen's song, Everything Old is New Again. I'm talking about some very strange parallels that I saw of the new Biden administration as compared to the old Carter administration. So, for example, Carter had the Iranian hostage situation. Biden has the horrific Afghanistan withdrawal. Carter saw inflation booming. Biden is seeing inflation booming. Carter had an energy crisis. Biden is having an energy crisis. Carter had social issue decisions that made him unpopular, which we called malaise. And, you know, Biden has his own social issue decisions that, you know, have created the F Joe Biden or let's go Brandon being a national motto in sporting events. And because of mask and vaccine mandates, the CRT and just terrible job numbers, you know, Carter was seen as ineffective and incapable. Biden is seen as ineffective and senile. So it's looking really bad. And I was just really struck by the number of parallels. And, you know, we know what happened. Fortunately, we had a Reagan revolution. I don't know if in 2024 we're going to have a Trump revolution or not, but, you know, can't get here fast enough.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, back to the 70s, right? Yeah. We're talking 45 years ago. Those of us who were around back then remember it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, anyone who is probably under the age of even 50
mm-hmm.
might not remember it because they were a baby or a child.
Yeah.
And so we have suffered as a country from normalcy bias. We are used to only 1% or 2% inflation a year. Everything's been pretty stable since Reagan was in office. And now here we are.
Yeah. So, you know, it just seemed like I was struck by the parallels. And, you know, that has to end. I mean, people woke up and they recognized that, you know, they were being basically sheep. And then they said, no, this is too much. And, you know, they went with Reagan.
And so, yeah.
So I think we have another caller on line four. Let's go with line four. Hello. Welcome.
Good morning. It's Doug Rankin.
Hey,
here,
Doug.
From my session.
From the front lines.
Great. I'm glad to be back in the saddle here.
So how are you?
There's a whole lot been going on in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't know if you all caught the news that came out Friday. It was actually something that had come out a day or two early by, oh, what was that gentleman that got kicked off of Fox News for nonsense?
Bill O'Reilly. Yeah.
Yeah, he found out that Zuckerberg spent $450 million,
yep.
And where he spent it, it was very successful, because what they did is they hired allegedly nonpartisan nonprofits to go out and walk into Joe and Jim's house and say, let me fill out your ballot for you, and or let me put in a correction for the ballot you've already filed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I know the correction thing, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And basically, nowadays, if you make a mistake on a ballot and it's soon enough before the actual election day, the supervisor of elections will either call you or send you a letter that says, hey, you messed up.
Mm.
You have a chance to come fix it. Well, they somehow got a hold of that.
Mm.
And actually, they were spending more money in these counties than the counties and states and federal government were.
Mm.
To run their election. And this was not, you know, they were essentially doing what you can't do at the polls now. You know, as you know, we've widened the area around the poll. So you can't walk up and convince people to to vote and how to vote. But you're going to do this, they're doing this with mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it very effectively. Now, there was a whole lot of cheating, and there's a question about whether this is illegal or not. But it probably is. And because it's no different than, you know, especially in Georgia, what they discovered over the last few weeks is that some of those drop boxes they had in Georgia, 26 people went to this one drop box.
Hmm.
Almost 20,000 ballots were in that box.
Yeah, right.
And in Georgia, ballot harvesting is illegal. It always has been, even with their new rules.
Right.
Or the old new rules, they're not, now it's totally illegal. And you can't have, it's like Florida, you can't have more than a couple in your hand that don't belong to you and your family.
Right.
And 26 of the, 17 or 18,000 just doesn't compute.
Right.
Now, the only trouble is they disclosed how they found out about that. They used cell phone pings,
mm-hmm.
and cameras. So from here on out, the Democrats are going to leave their cell phones at home,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to wear hoodies.
Yeah.
But this is how they were doing a lot of that. And a lot of it is legal, some of it's illegal, and some of it's quasi-legal.
Mm.
But enough of that for now. talking about the virus, you know, I have a son that has that disease, and I forget the exact name for it, but basically you have a sac around your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people throughout their lifetime occasionally get this virus that causes an inflammation of that sac.
Mm-hmm.
90% of them, it comes once and it's gone forever.
Right.
Other people, like my son, it comes and goes,
mm.
because you're not fully immune to that virus. Several of the virus shots will inflame that disease, and they know it.
Mm.
And so he cannot take most of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, we're seeing here, if this is so great, why are they censoring a woman's obituary who died from the vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. We're seeing a lot of that. And by the way, the number on natural immunity versus their immunity is 27 times
mm.
more immune.
Well,
now,
that makes sense.
Don't get me wrong. You know, I've had both my shots
mm-hmm.
because I'm a pretty strong guy. I've got some pretty strong genes, and it's really not going to mess with me much. However, a young lady I know, she's a young lady, and she had one shot, which gives her 65% immunity. Plus, I'm sure throughout all this, and she's been out in the world with me, that she's got natural immunity probably too. But the second shot just wasn't worth it, because for some young women, the Moderna shot can cause placental separation, placenta separation. And so for anybody who's looking to have a child someday or doesn't want all sorts of female problems, that second Moderna shot probably is not a really good idea.
Yeah, they should definitely check with their doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are other things that that you just can't do. And, you know, and I'd love to see the study on natural immunity on top of this vaccine. I've seen no such study. And yet they're trying to force this.
Right.
And, you know, you are seeing a lot of stuff falling apart all around us because people are just quitting. The number I saw the other day is something like 4.3 million people.
Yep.
In the last month or two have quit their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're basically going on strike.
If you don't think that's going to have an effect on our economy, you're on the wrong planet.
Yeah. You're right. And the thing is that, you know, this is emergency use authorization. The only one that's gotten full approval is the Pfizer, right?
Yeah,
so people should not be quitting their jobs over an emergency use authorization product. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only if it's fully licensed.
Yeah, and that's the one that was done the old-fashioned way. The other two are modified RNA shots, and nobody's quite sure what they're going to do. But you've also got a situation here with the supply chain. Supply chain is the correct term that they use in the industry, but it's not a correct way of looking at how it works.
Mm-hmm.
It is not A to B to C to D. It's a very complex, interwoven web.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start messing with this string and that string and the other string, the whole damn thing cascades apart.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing. And, you know, quite frankly, I heard it. I'm going to plagiarize from another radio talk show host the other day who said, would you trust anybody in this damn White House to run a Subway restaurant, let alone the whole damn country?
Right.
And the answer to that is no. They're either a bunch of academics who have a lot of number letters behind their names, but never ran anything in the real world in their whole damn lives, or they're just hack politicians or losers who have no experience in doing anything. You know, and I, as you may or may not know, you know, I've been an attorney for 39 years, but before that, I worked for my mother's accounting office when I was very young, and we did people's tax returns. We also took care of about 50 businesses, not the same 50 for the whole years I was there, but pretty much pretty low of customers. About half those people could do whatever it was they could do, but they couldn't run a business to save their lives. That's where we came in.
Right.
The other half, we just gave them the numbers and they ran with them. They knew what they were doing.
Right.
And, you know, I had this one guy, he was the greatest guy in the world. You bring him something diesel, he'd fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of running the business, nah. I was over there all the time showing him what to do and how to do it and all that before I was out of high school. You know, so I do have some semblance of an idea what I'm talking about here. And I know people that may run these shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got all sorts of weird rules in California. And they brought up something the other night that Biden is bought, paid for by the unions, always has been. That's mm-hmm. how he got elected a senator at 29.
Yep.
And so he's not playing with any of these weird rules they've got in California and elsewhere. He's just all for the unions. And this is what is really screwing everything up, along with everybody quitting, along with, you know, the fuel prices. You know, I know people in the trucking industry are quitting right and left.
Oh, yeah.
And they are purposely driving up fuel prices. And the other day in California, they just outlawed all gas-powered lawn equipment.
Yeah.
One trouble is, what they didn't tell you is there's something else they outlawed that you better be very careful of in Florida. Generators.
Mm.
So, the next time, if that passes here or becomes a national rule, which is a bunch of this garbage is in this $3.5 trillion mess, then what are we going to do in the next hurricane?
Right, exactly.
Plug in our batteries until they run out and then just sit here and look stupid?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they outlaw the generators or not. They're soon going to outlaw fossil fuels.
Right. That's
and
their
I'm
goal.
Sorry, this technology has no other way of making portable power.
Mm-mm.
The best I could buy, right now I'm building a toy box RV for myself. And in case I'm out in the woods for a while and don't want to run the generator because I don't need it for the air conditioner, I'm going to put a 200-watt solar panel on it.
Yeah.
But that won't power much for very long. And that's about the biggest you can get
right. To
be a portable source.
Right, yeah.
You know, and beyond that, you're talking massive things that you just can't haul around or massive things that would cost you a fortune for your house.
Yeah.
And a 200-watt solar panel isn't much.
Yeah.
You know. And by the way, too, we're up to other things. The military guy, they just sentenced that guy in the military.
Yeah, the lieutenant colonel.
Yeah, he got $5,000 reduction in pay, and the judge criticized the hell out of the people in the Defense Department that were prosecuting him.
Good for
them.
They
did exactly what you see Merrick Garland doing with the and all these other people doing with things that we say.
Yeah.
They cherry-picked part of what he said.
Right.
And then tried to gaslight the judge. You don't do that.
No.
It's not good for your career as a prosecutor, especially when the judge takes the time to actually watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you look like an idiot. I've got that going on in a case right now where an expert CPA tried to gaslight the judge by cherry-picking things here and there. You know, it's just the way, that's a technique that that bad people use. And let's see what else we got here.
Well, Doug, I like what you brought up about the supply chains from the standpoint that President Trump alerted this to us early in the pandemic that the Chinese had the corner on all of the products for our pharmaceuticals.
They had a lot of products for a lot of things.
Well, so here we are now, a year later, and I think they're using the supply chain thing, in addition to what's going on with the unions and Biden, they're doing this on purpose so they can the disruptions cause artificial shortages, and then we have more inflation.
Absolutely. And what you don't hear, too, is China is in economic trouble.
Yeah.
And if they don't take us down a couple of notches, they're going to implode,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's coming.
But, you know, you've got situations where, instance, a third the way up Georgia, halfway between the Florida line and Macon, mm-hmm. are a whole bunch of companies that build trailers,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of trailers.
Yeah.
And one of those companies is owned by Buffett.
Okay.
And the other place they're located is Elkhart, Indiana. So these are not little companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't build anything but the most basic of their products. Because they're missing this and they're missing that and
right. They're
missing the other thing.
Yeah.
And nobody in those companies has gotten smart enough to say, hey, we ought to quit buying from China and buy from Pakistan and India and Vietnam, countries that are not trying to kill us or destroy us.
Yeah. Doug, I've got another caller. So I want to thank you for calling in from the front lines, and you have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. And so we have a caller on line 5. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
My name is Ron Pure. I'm in Bonita Springs.
Hey, Ron.
And I'm with the Taxpayer Action Group, and thanks for spotlighting these kinds of issues on your program. However, my take is that COVID, or the virus, China virus, whatever, has been shoved in our throat in more ways than one. And one of those being the coverage of local media with respect to what goes on in our own backyard, to the exclusion of things like taxes and so on, and, of course, the county commissions and city councils have all met recently and decided on where our property taxes ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there should be some emphasis placed on what is going on in a place, for example, the city of Naples.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 months ago, the city of Naples, and over the past 6 months or so, were stressing the fact that the city council in Naples was entertaining borrowing money to cover any shortfalls with respect to the retirement packages that the folks have doled out over the years.
Mm.
And what happened in recent weeks was really beyond laughable. The chief of the fire district in the city of Naples said to the board that they would quit his job because he had reached retirement, full retirement, unless they made it possible for him to collect his regular pension, which of course he had vested, et cetera, in addition to his salary, and that would enable them to keep him on the payroll.
Wow.
And do such a thing. So as a result, he's collecting now roughly $160,000 a year in salary and about $90,000 a year, thereabouts.
Oh, my goodness.
In his regular pension. So he's up to getting on a weekly basis or an annual basis about $250,000 or $260,000.
Wow.
The point here is then should lead us to what is going on with something called triple dippers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working on this for the past two or three years, a fellow named David Jay and myself, trying to bring to the attention of the local taxpayers that we've got public servants on the payroll
mm-hmm.
that take a salary and an interest-bearing account pension
mm-hmm.
at the same time. It is part of the DROP program.
Right,
have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of DROP.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Deferred Retirement
mm-hmm.
Option Plan. So in our own backyard, as I said earlier, we've got someone in North Collier County Fire Control and Rescue, one individual, and I'm not singling out, I never met the guy in my life, will collect a, let's see, what will that be? His cash bonus is not noted. Let me go down to North Collier Fire Control, a fellow named Ryan Page. He'll work for 5 years under the DROP program, and at the end of it, we'll collect a nearly $400,000 bonus, lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Lee County. We've got someone there called Bruce Collins. He's on the Lee County Board of County Commissioners. Not on the commissioners, I guess it's part of the support staff. He'll be entitled to about $400,000 as well at the end of the five-year DROP program. And then, of course, there will be ongoing pension payments to him, which he's earned,
right.
After he leaves his present job.
Mm-hmm.
This is all very involved information. However, I must tell you that we're exposed to having gotten beaten, I think, badly this year with the final tax bill that we'll get in the mail soon.
Mm-hmm.
Because our area, in Collier and Lee particularly, have enjoyed great success with respect to development and so on.
Yeah, right.
So as a result, we've collected enormous sums in impact fees,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, are not as high as they ought to be considering the demand on our properties mm-hmm. and our land down here.
Right.
All right. So we've got big-time collections of impact fees, yet the local newspapers appears to be loath to focus in on these facts. So you've got impact fees galore. You've got new taxpayers on the tax roll.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond numbers that would be unheard of several years ago, but of course...
So, Ron, let me ask you a question. If people wanted to learn more about this, do you have a website or anything?
I would direct them to tripledippers.org.
Okay.
And the emphasis there is on the state in general, but specifically Collier and Lee. And there's a wealth of information there that we've put on the site over the past 2 years or so.
Right.
TripleDippers.org. They should become acquainted with the DROP program, and which is what we've referred to as being Triple Dippers.
Right. Yeah. Well, Ron, and, we really appreciate it.
And, well, I appreciate your time and your effort, and pay close attention to what goes on in our own area. Thank you.
Thanks, and have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, so as the background music comes up, Joe, any final thoughts?
Well, be prepared for this implosion. Mm-hmm. Expand your hurricane kit to last maybe a month or 2 months. Mm-hmm. Do any maintenance that you may on your car, your homes. Get that all done up front, because with inflation, you might as well pay for it now.
Yeah, do it now. You know, even if you don't need new tires, get new tires. Get new brakes. You know, do the washout of the coolant. You know, do what you got to do now. It's not going to be Christmas toys that's going to be the problem. It's going to be basic stuff.
Amen.
Yeah. So I want to thank Joe Whitehead and Doug Rankin for calling in. I want to thank Dr. Joe Doyle for being here with me. All the callers that called in, thank you so very much. And all of our listeners, thank you very, very much. And remember to
keep the grill hot
and the beer cold. Thanks, all.